night, everybody. When it gets down to 5 seconds, y'all can stand up. Everybody, have a good week. That's good. Good. Amen. Everybody stand, please, and sing with us. Here we go. Everybody to ascend. Here we go. Praise goes on. and on and on and on. So. Put your hands together. Here in your life you find what makes us come alive, a sacrifice of praise. A city on a hill, surrendered to your will, the glory on display. Your glory on display. You are awesome in this place. Jesus, you are awesome in this place. Worthy to be praised. Jesus, you are worthy to be praised. You will be praised. You will be praised. Your love affords your grace, consuming every space. It's uncontainable. You're coming like a flood, our hearts are filling up, all things are possible, all things are possible. Do you believe it? Awesome in this place, Jesus, you are awesome in this place. Come on. Worthy to be praised, Jesus, you are worthy to be praised. You will be praised. You bore so I could live in the freedom you died for. And now my life is yours, and I will sing of your goodness. And now my shame is gone, and I stand amazed in your love undeniable. Your grace goes on, and I will sing of your goodness forevermore. Worthy is your name.
I love the fact that we've turned a building which could be used for anything into a house of worship, a place where we just, what's coming out of this building this morning glorifies God, lifts up His name. That blesses me. Welcome to Ascend Church this morning. So glad that you're here. Now is the time in the service where if you have a need, we'd like to pray with you. We believe God hears and answers prayer. We believe in the laying on of hands, and we believe God still heals today. And if you are here and you have a need, even if you may be here for the first time, but you say, you know, I'd love somebody to just pray with me. I have some, you know, issue in my family or something I'm dealing with, and I just want God's help. We're going to sing one more worship song. And if you're not coming forward, just worship with us. But during this time, our prayer team will line up here. Just slip out of your seat, come to the front, and someone will agree in prayer with you today. They will actually pray a powerful, life-changing prayer over you. Amen. So come on forward if you need prayer this morning. We're going to worship.
If the wrong
And as you speak, come on, sing. A 100 billion galaxies appear. When you lost your life, so I could find it here. If you left the grave behind you, so will I. I can see your heart in everything you've done. Every part designed in a work of art called love. If you gladly chose surrender, so will I. I can see. You're the one that never leaves the one behind. You gave your life to love them, so will I.
Thank you, Lord. So will I.
Amen.
So will I. Thank you, Lord. Wow. Just thinking of the greatness of our God. You just begin to, just thinking of what we see in nature. The Bible says no man has any excuse to say, I don't know if there's a God. Just take a look. Just take a look. And we glorify him for who he is, the mighty God. Amen. Welcome to church. So glad you're worshiping with us. We're going to take 60 seconds. Just find somebody. Greet them. Find out how their week was. To see you in the house of the Lord this morning. We have an expectancy in our heart that God's going to speak to us and minister to us today. We're so glad to see you here. Want to welcome everyone, especially want to welcome anyone who's visiting for the first time. I think I saw a few new faces this morning, and we always welcome and so happy to see new guests. So if you are here for the first time, what we do, we don't want to embarrass you, make you stand up or anything, but we'd just like to give you a gift bag right where you're sitting. So if you're here for the first time, would you mind just waving your hand that we could welcome you? God bless you. Welcome, welcome. Anyone else on that side? Thank you. If you said you're here for the first time and usher hasn't seen you, just wave your hand. In that gift bag, there's just a couple of things. One is a teaching CD from Pastor Steve. We put it in because he always preaches a very faith-building, encouraging message. And we hope that that would encourage you at some time in the week. And then also there's a white card that says guest. You just take a moment and fill that out. In a little while, we'll pass an offering bucket by. Just drop that card in, and it gives Pastor an opportunity just to call you and find out how you enjoyed the service. And thank you for being with us today. I don't know how you got here, because sometimes people come because a friend invites them. Sometimes they come because they saw the flag waving outside, or for whatever reason. But I don't believe it's by accident. You know, God directs our footsteps, right? And so welcome to church today. We're glad that you're here. We welcome those that are watching online, people watching Facebook Live, watching on our app, watching in the future. We're glad that you're joining us today. I want to remind you of the four purposes of our church. First one is we want to help you to know God. Come on, you got to know these by now. We're going to help you to know God. Second of all, to find freedom, discover your purpose, and make a difference in this world. Amen? And we're so glad that you're with us today. Now, we're doing things a little differently today. We're going to be receiving our church offering right now. And so you can prepare yourself. There are envelopes on the seats right where you are. And we always like to read a scripture because we don't do anything because of tradition or duty or just because that's what we think we should do, but we follow what the Word of God says. Amen? In all our getting, we get understanding about every subject, including the area of giving. And I just want to read two verses from Proverbs 3, the book of wisdom. It says, honor the Lord by giving him your money and the first part of all your crops. That's pretty self-explanatory. You know, your money, it's your income. And they're talking about crops because he's talking to farmers. But he talks about the first part, which is talking about the tithe, which is mentioned all throughout the Bible. He says, then you will have more grain and more grapes than you will ever need. So there's a scripture that talks about us honoring God by giving to him. Now, what do you think? What about your tithe blesses God the most? Do you think it's the actual money or do you think it's the obedience? Right, because God's not broke. And so what will my money do to make God's life any better? But my obedience does, right? And I heard a story that T.D. Jakes told. He said that he went to New York City. He was preaching or something, and he saw an expensive suit that he thought, gee, he'd like to buy that for his wife. So he bought this, and he thought, she's going to love this. I'm going to mail it to her. She's going to be so surprised. And then he said, just as an afterthought, when he got, he saw the cashier had some paper, and he scribbled on it, and he said, I can't get you out of my mind. And he put that in there. And he mailed it to her. And he says, you know, to this day, she hasn't worn the coat, the suit. But she has that note stuck up on her mirror. And he's like, if I knew that, I could have sent you paper from all over the world. It wouldn't have cost me anything. So, but what I want to say to you is that the message is more significant to her than the suit because it demonstrated the relationship, right? And so what blesses God in our giving and our tithing is our obedience, right? Obedience is an expression of love. And God doesn't need what you give. In fact, everything you have, you got from him in the first place, right? And so, it's our obedience that constitutes worship. And the word worship actually means worth-ship. That's what is he worth to you? I'm saying you are worth so much to me. That's my worship to you. And so when he says to bring the first part, like we just read, honor the Lord with your money and with the first part, he's not saying it because he needs your money. He wants our obedience. Amen. That's what blesses him. And so when we follow the word of God and when we do things the way he wants, when he sees our heart, that's when we see the results. That's when we see, you know, our barns overflowing, as it says. That's the blessing. There is a blessing that is attached to obedience. Amen? So as you get ready to give, there's envelopes right there. Just make use of those. Those that are watching online, you can just give so easily. At a click of a button, it says give online. Thank you for doing that. We thank you for your faithfulness. You want to pray over the offering, my dear?
Good morning. How are you? Are you doing well? You glad to be in church today? Ascend Church? Great. I'm glad you're here too. We want to pray over your giving today. The scripture says that when you honor the Lord with your tithe and offering, that he opens the windows of heaven and he pours blessing upon you that you cannot contain. And not only that, he rebukes the devourer on your behalf. In other words, God promises divine protection, divine blessing. So hold that in your hand as we pray right now. Even if you're watching this online, do the same. Father, I thank you for every tither and every giver in this church. And Lord, I thank you that you promised in your word that you would open the windows of heaven and you would pour blessing that we cannot contain and that you would rebuke the devourer on our behalf. So Father, I pray right now, I thank you for your hand of blessing on every tither and every giver. I thank you, Father, that blessings are chasing after us, overtaking us in the name of Jesus. I thank you, Lord, that you are supernaturally opening doors. I thank you, Father, for your favor that's around us. I thank you that you are God of increase. And I thank you for bringing increase into the lives of your people, Lord. You said that when we seek first the kingdom of God, that all these other things will be added to us. And I thank you, Lord, for blessings that are added, favor that is added, breakthroughs that are added. In the name of Jesus, we give you all the thanks and all the praise. And everybody that agreed said amen and amen. Thank you so much. Ushers, are you ready? You can go right ahead and receive and pass the buckets today. I want to just mention to you all that we have Prophet Ed Trout is going to be with us in 2 weeks' time on February the 9th. On February the 9th, we have Prophet Ed Trout. How many of you know Prophet Ed Trout? How many of you have heard Prophet Ed Trout speak? Wave your hand at me if you've heard Prophet Ed Trout. If you have not heard Prophet Ed Trout, wave your hand. If you never heard him, wave your hand. All right. Well, I want to really encourage you not to miss this special time, because we've known Prophet Ed Trout for, I don't know, 25 years probably. And in my opinion, he's just so gifted, got such an amazing gift from God and anointing. I've never seen anyone prophesy with such accuracy and detail over people. How many of you ever received a prophecy from Ed Trout and you could say, man, it was right on? And so anyway, he's going to be with us on February the 9th at our 10 a.m. service. And also, we're going to be doing a special 6 p.m. service on that day. And the reason we're doing a second service is because, you know, Ed can't prophesy over every single person in one meeting. But if we have a second service, it gives people an opportunity to come and for him to minister and prophesy to more people. So that's why we're doing a 6 p.m. So on, say it with me, 2 weeks' time, February 9th, Prophet Ed Trout, Sunday morning, and 6 p.m. We've got two services that day. And I really encourage you to be at both of the services. Because, you know, maybe you come in the morning, you don't come in the evening, and that's when you would have got prophesied over in the evening. Amen? And today, we have actually a special guest with us today. We have with us Dr. Keith Johnson and his wife, Bonnie. And I know of Dr. Keith. He's ministered and preached at many of my friends' churches, especially in South Africa. Many, many people I know in South Africa, and I've heard such great reports, such great things about his ministry. He's been in ministry for like 28 years now, and many people call him America's number one confidence coach. And so we're so glad to have Dr. Keith here today. I believe he has a word from the Lord for you. And so I want you to see this video real quick, and then he's going to come up to the platform today. Thank you.
Hey, this is Dr. Willie Jolly. I am so excited to take a moment to tell you about my friend, Dr. Keith Johnson. He is the best speaker in the world on the topic of confidence.
For over 22 years on nearly every continent, bringing his message of confidence to over 1.5 million people, Amazon best-selling author and America's number one confidence coach, Dr. Keith Johnson has transformed people from all walks of life.
Keith may be one of the most powerful speakers I've ever seen.
Dr. Johnson has worked alongside some of the most influential thought leaders, such as Les Brown, the world's number one motivational speaker, who said, Keith Johnson has unique insights, humor, and teaches life-changing principles that will increase your confidence and allow you to more fully live your purpose. As a founding member of the John Maxwell team, Keith understands the power of honest communication and the strategies for effective leadership. Dr. Keith Johnson has spoken in some of the largest churches in the world and frequently presents for Get Motivated Business Seminars, the largest speaking tour in the United States. Dr. Keith Johnson has also been featured on many popular national television shows. Women's World, the most read magazine for women across the globe, recognized him as one of America's ultimate experts on confidence. Whether you want to lead a business, organization, sales team, or a church, nothing happens until you gain more confidence. Are you ready for a positive change? This is your moment, an opportunity for you to be inspired and transformed by a proven expert. Everybody, please stand to your feet and welcome to the stage America's number one confidence coach, Dr. Keith Johnson.
Let's welcome Dr. Keith this morning.
Hey. Hello, everybody. Well, let's just stay standing for a minute. I know you came to check me out, but I came to check you fine folks out first. Let me get a good look from the front all the way back to the back, over to the side. Yeah, I see you back there. Hey, brother, all the way over. Yeah, I see you over to the side. Let me see all of your faces. Oh, hey, thank you, my friend. Thank you, my friend. Thank you. Okay, thank you, my friend. Let me just get a look on the front here. Wow, Pastor, you're not going to believe this. It happened again. Everywhere I go, only good-looking people show up to hear me. Hey, touch a neighbor. Say, you look marvelous today. Aren't you glad that all the ugly people go to the other churches in Jupiter, huh? And, hey, yeah, that's right, that's right. Hey, birds of a feather, what? Good-looking people hang out with? Yeah, that's right, that's right. So glad. And hey, It's a new year. It's a new decade, right? And I'm telling you look better in this decade than what you look like in the last decade. Just touch your neighbor and say, you look much better in this decade. You look good in this decade. Hey, because how many of you know you're not who you used to be? You have come a long way. Isn't that right? And you do look better in this new decade. Can you say yes? But here's the thing we all know. We know we've come a long way, but all of us know we got a long way to go yet, right? To become everything God wants us to really be. But I'm excited for this next 10 years. Are you excited? I don't want just a good year. I want a great decade. I said I want a great decade. And I'm excited. I'm excited for my new friends, Pastor Steve and Jill. I mean, wow, I spent time with them yesterday, and we had such a great time. I love three things about them already that stands out really large. Number one, their authentic love for God. I spend time with leaders. Over 200 days out of the year, I'm with a leader somewhere in the world. But their authentic love for God is amazing. I appreciate that about you. You say, don't all leaders love God? I'm telling you, sometimes you scratch your head. You're like, man, I don't know. But these two, you guys really are authentic. I love that. The second thing I love about you two, which is rare really today, is your love for the Word of God. I love that about the two of you. And then the third thing is your love for the people of God here in Jupiter. Giving your lives, surrendering your lives, paying a great price to preach the gospel, to heal, to set people free, to help people discover their purpose so they can make a difference. That's what you're all about. Thank you so much for what you do. Can we put our hands together for them? Man, you guys are amazing. Thank you for being my new friends. And I feel like I got a new family here because the final thing is I like excellence, and this is a wonderful place of excellence. Isn't that great? Isn't it great to come to a place that's nice, clean, done with excellence? Isn't that great? Yes, thank you. Thank you so much. You can be seated today. Today I'm known as America's number one confidence coach, but I didn't start out that way. I mean, I look at this video, my team put it together. They want people to play it everywhere I go, and it kind of frustrates me a little bit on one side because I'm always thinking, you know, nobody cares how good I used to be. I mean, you're just sitting there saying, I hope he's good today. That's all I care about, right? But the second thing is when I watch that video, I think of how far I've come. And so many times we can see the glory and not know the story. And so my journey didn't start off with all of this. My journey started off with me being a professional sinner. Now, how many know one thing? If you're going to be something, you might as well be great at it, right? And so I was a professional sinner. I was a drug addict. I was an alcoholic. I was a womanizer. I was going to Ball State University. I was in Ball State University, the number one party school in the 80s. And I was part of the number one fraternity, Sigma Phi Epsilon, and on the rugby team. So, you know, that's an interesting combination. And we partied every day and got drunk and got stoned and then went and played rugby. And one of the times, I had a 750 Nighthawk. And one of the Saturdays, we had this match, and we'd been drinking all night long, about 3 o'clock in the morning, And then in the morning, you know, after you're hungover, you just take another shot, and you're going to get hit on and beat on for the next few hours. So we drank a couple beers, and off to the rugby match I go, and I get there, and I realize I forgot my cleats. And I'm like, oh, no. So I jump back on my motorcycle. I'm heading back to the fraternity house, and I'm down the back streets of Muncie, Indiana, and I'm going about 60 in a 35, and a car pulls out right in front of me. I had no time to stop. I try to slam on my brakes, but I have no time. And I hit the car right in the side of the car, and I launch up in the air. My body was flying this way. And while I'm flying in the air, I see this white glove. Have you ever seen the Mickey Mouse white glove? I see this white glove come up underneath my butt and put me right down on the pavement. And when I landed on the pavement, I was like kind of dizzy. I was out, and I was thinking to myself, wow, I probably have several broken bones. I probably need to go to the hospital. And when I came to, I actually was able to get up off the ground, and I looked down, and I didn't have a single scratch, didn't have a broken bone. And I walked away from that accident. But here's what happened. I was a sinner, and I didn't know much about God. But what I knew at that moment, something supernatural had just happened to me. And it was so supernatural. I got to just say it like it is. It scared the hell right out of me. I was so afraid. I said, man, I got to change my life. Man, I got to do something different. And all I knew is I felt like I had to get away from all my friends that I had developed. I had to get away from all my family. And I had to leave Ball State. And that's what I did. I had no money. I got $800 for my wrecked motorcycle. And I moved all the way down to Tampa, Florida with $800 in my pocket. That's all I had. Now, how many of you know in life, if you're going to go to another level, sometimes you've got to leave toxic relationships behind? And sometimes the most toxic people in our life are those who are the closest to us, which is our family. Yeah. I have a little success secret I call reserve. Sometimes you got to reserve your family for C. C, E, and F. I call it the C, E, and F principle. Reserve your family for Christmas, Easter, and funerals. But I left everything, moved down to Florida, $800 in my pocket, and I'll never forget when I first started. I knew nobody, and I had $800, and I moved into a trailer park in Halliday, Florida. And if you would have seen this trailer park, it was all jacked up, man. They gave me the first month rent for free because I don't think anybody else would live in this trailer. Because the trailer, it was really funny. The oven worked, but the stovetop didn't work. I had a washer and dryer. The washer didn't work, but the dryer worked. I had a freezer and a refrigerator. The refrigerator didn't work, but the freezer worked. So it was crazy. If I wanted to cook a hamburger, I had to take the hamburger out of the freezer, turn on the oven, and cook my hamburger in the oven. And by the way, I didn't know whether or not the air condition was going to work that day or not. It had a mind on its own. If it felt like working, it worked. So I'm telling you, this trailer was demon possessed. And I remember, you know, being like, man, I got to do something because I had no money. And they're going to charge me $400 a month for rent. So first month rent was free. I was happy about that. And now I'm down in Florida, but I have no car. So I'm like, man, I got to find me a car. So I walked across the street to a used car dealership. And I said, hey, man, I need a car. And all I got's $800. He said, $800. He said, $800 isn't going to get you very much. I don't think I have anything. Then he stopped. He says, wait a minute. He says, yeah, I think I got something in the back here you might be interested in. And he took me to the back, and there was this old, Hyundai, with like 160,000 miles on it. It was a four-cylinder, and I swear only two of the four cylinders worked. I bought the car because it ran. He started it up. Smoke's blowing out the back of the car. And I'm like, well, at least I got some transportation here. And now over on the other side of the state, they have this road called U.S. 19. And it's basically four lanes on each side, and everybody's going super-duper fast, cutting each other off. And, you know, it's crazy. And I remember the first time I got in the car and I started driving down U.S. 19, and the car would only go like 40 miles an hour. I'm blowing smoke out the back. These cars are trying to go around me. They're honking at me, and they're telling me I'm number one. Come on, you know what I'm talking about? Some of you haven't had your Starbucks yet, but you'll figure it out. And I'm thinking, how did they know I'm number one, right? And I'm driving down the road, and so there I had a car. Now I had a place to live, and I'm thinking, now I got to find me a job. So I open up the newspaper, and I see this job, and the thing, it said men's clothing store, and the name of it was Mail Review. I'm thinking, well, that's kind of a different name for a men's clothing store, but I says, okay. So I got in my car, put on the best clothes I had. I'm driving down to the mall, and that day it was 107 degrees. I mean, it was hot. Now, my air conditioning, my car is not working. I'm sweating going the whole way there. And my clothes is basically drenched. I'm thinking, man, nobody's going to hire me. I smell, I stink. But I said, man, I'm desperate. I need money. So I go into this men's clothing store. And fortunately, when I walked in, as soon as I walked in, I smelled curry. I mean, that's all you could smell in the store. And come to find out, this store was owned by an Indian man. And the whole store smelled like curry. So when I applied, he didn't smell the stink on me. He didn't know. And I got the job. The job paid $100 cash under the table a week. Well, you see, I needed $400 a month to make it, right? And so I'm thinking, okay, hey, I'll take it. I'm desperate. I need a job. So back home I go, and I remember that I'm like, man, this stinks. Living in this trailer stinks. I have no friends. I have nobody in my life. And I'm thinking, man, it'd be nice to have a wife, be nice to have a girlfriend. I know nobody. I just felt like this black cloud was all around me. How many of you know poverty is depressing, right? How many of you know poverty stinks? Somebody say, oh, yeah. Yeah, so does middle class. Middle class stinks, too. I tried that, too. I didn't like that, neither. But anyway, we'll talk later about that. But here I am. I say, okay, I start working, start my first week of work. And I'm miserable all week long. I'm miserable. And finally, this one distinguished-looking guy comes in. He was probably in his late 50s, gray hair. And I'm only 23 years old. And this guy comes in. He says, how you doing? I'm like, well, not very good. And he's like, well, you seem kind of down. He said, I said, yeah. I said, life stinks. I'm broke. I don't have any money. I'm living in a trailer park. And he says, you know what? This little principle changed my life, and I give these little books away. And he reached in his pocket, and he grabbed this little tiny book, and he gave it to me. He said, read this. I am a multimillionaire today because I practice this principle. And I'm like, oh, okay. I'm like, yeah, that's what I want to be. I want to be wealthy. I don't want to be poor anymore. And so I went home, one of the first books I ever read, and I started reading this book. And it was an interesting book because it basically told this little story about this rabbit. And this rabbit, all the rabbit ever thought about every day was carrots. He woke up in the morning, carrots, 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 carrots. How can I get carrots? I want carrots. I want carrots. I want carrot, carrot, carrot. And but he never got any carrots. He couldn't find any carrots, but he wanted carrots. How many know all of us want a better life, but sometimes we don't know how to get to it, huh? And how many know some of us want a better life, but sometimes we take the wrong path? And so the rabbit meets a squirrel. And the squirrel is bubbly, and the squirrel is all happy. And the rabbit's like, hey, man, what's up? Why are you so happy? I want to be happy like you. And the squirrel says, what you got to do is you got to realize, rabbit, all you're thinking about yourself. You just want to get. And the squirrel tells the rabbit, life is not about getting. Life is all about giving. Oh, wow. Hey, let's say that together. Life is all about giving. Remember, God so loved the world, He gave. Jesus gave His life. What if that's true? What if we are here to be givers? Now, when I started reading this, I'm like, I'm not used to this concept because I came from a very poor family who they thought about always was themselves and how to get the next dollar, how to con somebody out of money. And I never had any kind of model at all of my family ever giving to somebody else, ever helping somebody else, ever thinking about helping others. That was never taught to me. I'm like, wow, why should I help somebody else? Give. I'm like, okay. So I'm reading this book, and at the end of the book, basically, the rabbit starts giving, and the principle of the book was basically what you've been taught in this church, I'm sure several times, is everything that you receive in life, if you get 10 carrots, give a carrot away. So every time you get and you get blessed, give it away. So I'm reading this thing. I'm like, okay. And I'm like, well, how does that apply to me? I'm like, all right, well, this week I'm going to get $100 cash. Now, I'm a sinner still, okay? You got this? I'm a sinner still, and I'm like, okay, I'm going to get $100 from the Indian guy down at the clothes store, and I got to take 10 bucks, and I got to give it to the church. So that's what I did. I got my $100, and I looked across the street, and there was a Lutheran church across the street just down the road from my trailer park. And so I went to the Lutheran church with my $10 ready to give because I've tried everything else. You know, I tried the crystals. I hugged the tree. It didn't do me much good. I just got bark all over my clothes. I rubbed the rabbit's foot, and I realized, wow, it didn't do the rabbit much good. And so I tried everything that I knew what to do, and you know, nothing was really working. So I said, I'm going to try. I'm just trying whatever comes in my life. And so here I go. I go to the Lutheran church, and I see the big pipe organs and the gold all over the place and you know, the marble, and I'm like, you know, wow. And so I'm there, and I see all the rituals they do, and I was confused, you know. I'm like, I didn't understand what was going on, because they would say stuff like, you know, hey, here comes the Father, and you know, he'd come out. They say he was Father, but he was dressed like a mother. I didn't understand all of that. And they would swing those things that would have smoke coming out of it. I thought they were big bongs, you know, because I'm a sinner, right? I didn't get all that kind of stuff. What was going on? I'm just sitting here. I'm just here to give my 10 bucks. That's all I want to do. But I'm sitting in the pew, and I remember, here comes, yeah, so I know, some people just, they're a little slow today, but they'll get it. And so here comes the offering plate, and all of a sudden when the offering plate, you know, I thought I was ready, but here comes the offering plate coming down the aisle, and my heart started beating, and I could feel my palms getting sweaty. I was like thinking to myself, I'm like, wow, you know what this 10 bucks can do? Man, this 10 bucks, I'm thinking in my mind, this 10 bucks, I could go down to the Wonder Bread store and for $1 get 4 loaves of bread so I can make it. I could take some of this $10 and I could go and I could buy me one of those big tubs of peanut butter. Anybody remember those big tubs of peanut butter that came in a gallon, right? That stuff was so nasty. It'd like stick to the roof of your mouth. It was nasty, but it worked. It was food, right? And I'm thinking, man, I'm going to need gas to get back and forth to work. And all my head's going, but what about, you know, what about me, man? What am I going to do? But I'm sitting there thinking to myself, well, life's not working real well for me, so I might as well try this. So I threw my 10 bucks in. Now, I wish I could tell you that, man, it made me feel super duper good. But I'm telling you, I was mad at myself. After I put my 10 bucks in there, I'm kicking myself. I'm saying, you idiot, you are the stupidest person in the whole world. Why did you just buy into that? Why did you do that? I know some people say, well, the Lord loves a cheerful giver. How many have ever heard that? You know, it never said he doesn't like an angry one. So I'm mad. I'm like, man, why did I do that? And I go throughout my next week. Now that whole week, you know, I'm thinking, well, good things started happening to that rabbit. And I went a whole week. And you know what? My week didn't get any better at all. But on Friday, I got the next 100 bucks. And I'm thinking to myself, okay, now if I do what this book says I'm supposed to do, I'm supposed to give 10 bucks back again. So I go to church. Same thing. Here comes the Father. Here comes the smoke. And I'm thinking to myself, well, I'm looking at my week, and what do you think I'm thinking? It didn't work last week, and here we go with another 10 bucks. Now, I got a $400 payment due, and my money's going down, 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 and I'm thinking, wow, and I'm thinking, wow, didn't work last week, didn't work great. But then my head said, well, Keith, life stinks, and I sure don't like where I'm at now. So I put my 10 bucks in. Here we go into another week. And I'm thinking to myself, all right, I'm waiting to see if this principle works or not. And you know what? I went into the third week. And into the third week, I looked around and, again, nothing was really happening. But that towards the end of the week, this guy came in. And into the store, another guy came into the store, and he said this. That week nothing. Third week nothing happened. The third week that I came in, I was getting ready to go to the church, and I turned on the television set before I went, and I heard Oral Roberts. Have you ever heard Oral Roberts? And I just arbitrarily turned on the television. I'm still a sinner. I turned on the television set. Oral Roberts is on. And I heard him say a statement that really touched me. He said, something good is going to happen to you today. And I'm like, wow. And because in my life, there was nothing good. All I could see is bad, bad, bad. So I thought nothing was happening in my life. But when I went to church that day, I was starting to realize something was happening. Because maybe my outer life wasn't changing, but my attitude was changing. And I went to church that day, and here comes the offering plate, and I thought about that statement. Something good is going to happen to me this week. And you know, isn't it interesting how your attitude can make a big difference in life? Your attitude can get you further than your talents, than your looks, than your education. Somebody say, oh, yeah. And so I gave my 10 bucks. I had a great attitude. Something good's going to happen to me this week. And I went into the next week. Nothing was happening on the outside. But then as the week went on, this other guy came in, nice dress, three-piece suit. Because in the back part of the store, they had a men's suit store in the back. And the guy comes in and says, hey, young man, how you doing? And I'm like, something good's going to happen to me. He's like, wow, you sure are a positive young man. I said, that's right, sir. Come on back here. We got plenty of suits. I took him back there, sold him two suits. Man, I didn't care what they looked like on them. I said, man, them look good on you. And the guy says, man, you are positive. He says, you know what? I have a job opening, and I don't usually hire somebody as young as you. You're a little young for the job. He says, but we pay really good. And he reached in his pocket, and he grabbed a card, and he says, I want you to come down and apply for a job for me. And I'm like, wow, okay, all right. And he says, Monday morning, 10 o'clock, be there. I'm like, okay. So I put the card in the pocket, and off I go, and I get my 100 bucks, and guess what? I got to go back to church, and what? I got to give to my 10 bucks. And I went to church. I had no problem. Here comes the offering plate. I'm thinking, I got opportunities in my tomorrow, right? My attitudes changed. I got a spirit of expectation. And in order to change your financial situation, in order to change your next decade, you got to increase your expectation that something good is going to happen to me. Come on, somebody. Let's all say it out loud. Something good is going to happen to me. Something good is going to happen to me in this decade. Come on, right? And man, I went into Monday and I jump in my car, right? And I'm driving down US 19. Smoke's pouring out the back, right? People are telling me I'm number one the whole way to this new job opportunity. I pull into the job opportunity. I sit at the desk of the guy, and the guy just says, man, he says, you sure are. You know, I'm smiling, I'm happy, I'm expecting something great. He says, man, I haven't seen a 24-year-old guy like you. You're unique. And he says this, he says, you remind me of myself when I was your age. I'm like, that's cool. And he said, you got the job. I'm like, oh, awesome. And he says, here's what we're going to do. Now, we're not going to start you off paying you a whole lot. I said, really? I said, well, how much? He says, well, we're only going to start you at $2,000 a month. I'm thinking to myself, you know, I, of course, on the outside, I'm like, I don't know if that's enough in my big trailer and everything, you know. On the inside, I'm doing jumpy jacks. Oh, happy day! and then he says, hey, listen, you know, he had this big office, and the windows were out over the parking lot. He could see the whole parking lot. He said, man, I saw what kind of car you had driving in. And he said, I can't have you driving around in that kind of a car representing my company. So he reaches into his desk drawer, pulls out a set of keys to a brand spanking new Cutlass Calais CL, all pimped out. I mean, it was amazing. Slides the keys across the desk and says, here's your new company car that goes with the job. I'm thinking, wow, something good just happened to me, right? Now, at 24 years old, driving off that car lot, what do you think I'm telling myself about giving? Yeah, I'm thinking this stuff, I found something that works. Wow. And here's what I want you to know. Tithing is a principle of God. And tithing, giving back 10 of everything that comes into your life, it's a principle. It's not a matter of grace or not. Because some people say, we're under grace, we don't have to tithe. And here's what I find. When you realize it's a principle of God, the principles of God, when exercised, will produce the miracles of God in your life. Now watch this. Here's what I want you to get. Whether you're saved or unsaved, it'll work if you go to church or you don't go to church, because principles is no respecter of persons. So it started working for me, and I made a decision, said, wow, I'm going to exercise this the rest of the days of my life. Now, it's interesting when we talk about money. How many of you want to see your finances totally change in the next decade? Come on, raise your hand. Say, oh, yeah. It's interesting that when you start looking at the dynamic of potential. Everybody say the word potential. See, where you are in your life right now is nowhere close to where God wants to take you. Potential's not who you are right now, it's who you could be. Potential's not what you are doing right now, it's what you could be doing. Potential, everybody say that word, potential. Potential's not what you have right now. It's not the kind of car you have, kind of house you're living in, the amount of money you're making now. Potential is what you could have, what you could be doing, the difference you could be making in the future, in your tomorrow. And so, In this dynamic of potential, I believe that part of what God wants to do in all of your lives is He wants to take your income to a whole nother level from where you are right now. Can you say, oh, yes? And one of the Hebrew words for money is the word kaf. You can see it up on the stage here. And it's very interesting. If you could give us a click, guys. It's very interesting, that word, because... I'm sorry. Am I doing something wrong? Check, check. Okay. Hey, let's give Pastor a hand clap. He's a problem solver. I love that. Everybody say kaf. Kaf is the Hebrew word for money. And kaf, when you study it, according to Daniel, Rabbi Daniel, he said this. He said, kaf, the word money means the palm of your hands and the soles of your foot. Everybody say the palm of my hands and the sole of my feet. It's very interesting because if you think of potential, inside of the word potential is the number 10. Isn't that interesting? And when God created you, God created you with 10 hands, or excuse me, 10 fingers, not 10 hands. You'd be looking like Medusa, like, right? Everybody say 10 fingers and 10 toes. And the word money means the palm of your hand and the sole of your feet. So God gave you hands in order to create. I give you power to what? To create and to make. So God gave you this power, put it in your hands. Then he said, money means the sole of your feet. So God gave you the ability to take nothing and make it something, and then carry that something that will solve people's problems, meet people's needs, to take your soul, the feet, and take it to the marketplace and make money for it. And when you do that, in the Jewish mind, when you make a sale, when you make money, you are bringing worship and you are bringing glory to God. Come on, we ought to clap on that. Are you hearing me? Making money, everybody say making money in the marketplace is my worship to God, right? So what are we doing? We are plundering hell's treasure chest and bringing the treasures back into the kingdom of God. Oh, did you hear that? Because at the end of the day, the one who has the largest treasure chest wins the war. Oh, my. Touch a neighbor, say, you need a bigger treasure chest. You're losing because your treasure chest is too small. Isn't it interesting that God stamped 10 on us? In the Jewish word for tithe, did you know, according to Daniel Rabbi and other rabbis, they said the word 10 means riches and means wealth. So every time a Jew reads the Old Testament and they see the word tithe, they think rich, they think wealth. That the power of 10 is the key to them to establishing their wealth and becoming wealthy people. Wow, and I started figuring this out. I'm like, wow, this is really cool. So in the Jewish traditions, it's very interesting that in Christianity, we look to Jesus, right? We have little wrists that says, what will Jesus what? What would Jesus do? Because we're Christians, we want to look to Jesus. In the Jewish traditions, they emphasize Isaiah 51, verse 2. You can look it up later. But in Isaiah 51, verse 2, it says, look to Abraham, your father. So to the Jew, they study Abraham, and they want to do everything that Abraham did so that they could live a life of faith that pleases God through obedience. You got it? So they study him. And so let's look at the first scripture. Here's one of the first scriptures, Genesis 14, 20. And it gives us an idea about Abraham's life. It's very interesting. In Genesis 14, 20, it says this. And it says that when Abraham met Melchizedek, here's what he said. And blessed be the God most high, who has delivered your enemies into your hands. And he, meaning Abraham, gave him a tithe of all that he had. Now my question is, where did he get 10 at? I mean, why didn't he give him 2%? Why didn't he give him 5%? Why not 20? Why not 25? Why was it 10? See, I believe, and tradition teaches us, that actually the power of 10 was introduced in the garden, and it went from Adam and Eve. It went down to their sons and Cain and Abel. That's why the only thing we have and we understand about Cain and Abel is both of the sons are giving back to the Lord after God prospered them. So you begin to see this pattern working out in the Bible as you study the Old Testament, that all of these people, they're giving back. And then we don't know how much it is until Abraham comes on the scene. And now we start finding out that this 10 starts working all throughout the scriptures on our behalf. So Abraham, he gave 10. Now, that's at the beginning of his life, okay? And Melchizedek was a type and form or a shadow of Jesus Christ. So it was like he was giving to Jesus, okay? So he was giving to the kingdom of God. He was giving to a priest, and he was giving to a king. Now, look what happened at his end of his life. After he started tithing, it's very interesting. In the next verse, it said what? His servant said, I am Abraham's servant. The Lord has blessed my master. What's the word? And he has become what? Touch your neighbor. Say, God has already decided what he wants you to become. Come on, tell him. Come on, God has already. It's not a question of does God want. God has already decided and gave you a playbook on how to get it. He has become wealthy. He has given him sheep and cattle, silver and what? Gold, men servants and maid servants, and what? Camels and Mercedes and Maseratis and airplanes. I'm sorry. And donkeys, right? So Abraham's servant was like, wow, look at this dude. This guy has become so wealthy. So in the mindset of the Jews, and that's the reason why they control 80% of the wealth in the world, in their mindset, they say, it is God's will without a shadow of a doubt for me to become a wealthy person. But unfortunately, that Hebrew theology ends up changing into Greek theology because the Greeks intermixed with the Christians and it went to Rome, and now we think that anything material is evil and anything that's spiritual is great, when Hebrews don't think that way. Hebrews think the material realm was created by God, which is good, and the spiritual world was created by God, which is good, and it's all good. Money is good. Material things are good. People are good. Come on, somebody, help me there. But Catholicism taught us that material things are evil. That's why all the priests have to take a vow to not getting of poverty, a vow of, oh, I can't get married, because anything that feels pleasurable is evil. And that is wrong, ladies and gentlemen. And so this is what we see as the end result. And this is the end result that God wants you to experience in this next decade. You're getting out of middle class living and you're getting ready to go to the wealthy place. Come on, somebody shout. If you believe it, say yes. Hey, real quick, instead of trying to take notes, I want you just to shoot me a text. If you'd back up real quick, if you could get all my notes here today. I got a lot more notes, but I'm running out of time because I wanted to get this story in real quick to you. If you just send me a text, just text 352-283-8016 and text potential. Just do that real quick, would you? Or you could take a picture, do it later. But all my notes that I'm giving you here today, you can pick them up and you can study it. You can start learning this for yourself. So 352-283-8016 and just put in potential. That's the day of name of today's message, potential. Put that in your phone and you'll find it'll work pretty good. As you're doing that, a pretty interesting story. This man, he made $100,000. He heard this message, and he made $100,000 in the year. And he said, wow, you know, man, I need to give 10%. I need to give $10,000 at the beginning of the year. And he's thinking, man, that's hard, man. That's a lot of money. The guy never gave that much money before. So he went to his pastor and he said, "Pastor," he said, "please pray for me because I'm really struggling with this thing, you know, giving $10,000. So the pastor says, "Get down on your knees." And the guy gets down on his knees. He stretches his hand. He prays for him. And the guy gets up. He says, "I'm ready to write the check." He gets full of faith and he writes the $10,000 check out to his pastor. He gives it to his pastor. And God supernaturally blesses his ministry, his business in an amazing way, and gives him some big contracts that year. And within the next year, the guy goes from making $100,000 to $1 million. And the guy's like, "Wow, only God could have done this for me, landed these kind of contracts." So now he writes out a $100,000 check, and he gives it to the church. He's so happy, full of faith, what's going to happen next. The next year, he goes from $1 million to $3 million. And now he has to write out a $300,000 check. True story. And so he's thinking, $300,000, that's a house. And now he gets in doubt again. And he's like, I can't do it. He goes back to the pastor. He says, "Pastor, I made $3 million this year, and now I have to write a $300,000 check. This is hard. Please pray for me, Pastor." Pastor says, "On your knees." And he gets down on his knees, and the pastor stretches his hand. And he said, "Lord, you see this man? When he made $100,000, he had a hard time giving $10,000. Now, Lord, he's made $3 million. You blessed him so much. He's made $3 million, and he's having a hard time giving $300,000. Lord, I pray that you shrink him back down to $100,000 again." The guy hears the pastor and says, "I rebuke that in the name of Jesus." And writes out the check for $300,000. How many of you want to be the guy that gives $300,000? I want to be that guy. My. So I want to show you this. This is very interesting because I think America is one of the greatest countries in the world. I've been to every continent of the world. And you know what makes America great in my mind? There's no other country in the world that gives like America. If there's tragedy in the world, they know that America will be there. Is that right? I love America. I love our country. How about you? And you know, the reason why we're so great is because of the men who've gone before us, because of biblical principles. I want to show you this. I call it the Supernatural Hall of Fame. The first billionaire ever in America in the 1920s was John D. Rockefeller. John D. Rockefeller in the 20s was a billionaire. Can you imagine what he would look like now? He'd make Bill Gates and Warren Buffett look like pulpers in our day, and he would essentially be a trillionaire in our day. And here's what he said. It's very interesting. As a kid, he said this. He said, "I would have never been able to tithe on my first $1 million if I had not learned to tithe on my first paycheck, which was $1.50 for the week." Wow, isn't that huge? Look at this other guy. I wanna give us a click, guys. And throughout history, you'll find, how many of you brushed your teeth today? William Colgate was a tither. How many of you ever ate Kraft macaroni and cheese? I had enough of that back in my poor days, yeah? How about Heinz ketchup? Y'all like Heinz ketchup? Heinz was a tither. How many ladies like chocolate? Milton Hershey was a tither. James Cash Kennedy. How many know what the middle name named Cash? You got to succeed. Was a tither. Built the largest clothing retail chain. Henry Cornwell with Quaker Oats. How about this guy? Anybody like Chick-fil-A? Chick-fil-A, he learned from Sir John Templeton, who was basically the Warren Buffett of the previous generation. He learned from Sir John Templeton to give 10%, and look what God has done with Chick-fil-A. You go, and all of his kids still tithe. Isn't it amazing what God has done? And I think they said that his organization now has surpassed per franchise the amount of money an individual franchise brings in, has surpassed, I mean, McDonald's and all of them. Let's put our hands together. Isn't that all? Running it, doing it God's way. Touch a neighbor, say, "We can do it God's way and win." Now look at these other two. I love these. This other two. Give me another click. Go ahead. Yeah. The first billionaire was Mary Ellen Pleasant in the 1940s. Amazing woman. Also, the first black billionaire, the first billionaire that was black was a woman, which is Oprah Winfrey. And both of these ladies give 10% of their income. Isn't that cool? One more click and let me show you the last one. I call this the Hall of Fame modern day. I don't know what you think about this lady. Sinner or saint, whatever you say. But from the time she was a child, she's given 10% of her money to a local church. LL Cool J gives 10%. David Carr, when he signed the largest contract for the NFL, they said, what are you going to do with this all this money? He said, first, I'm going to tithe 10% to my local church. And he said, the second thing I'm going to do is I'm going to go down to Chick-fil-A and buy me a bunch of Chick-fil-A sandwiches. I don't know why he said that, but that's what he said. So you begin to see this pattern that is amazing pattern that all these men and all these women have extraordinary wealth, whether sinner or saint, and God has blessed them in an amazing, amazing way. Now, I want to show you the difference before we get moving here. I want to show you the difference between a poverty mindset versus a kingdom millionaire mindset. And here it is. In our minds, when we get money and money comes into us, what do we think? We think that 100% that comes into us, that comes into our lives, that if we give 10%, 100% minus 10% equals what? 90%. Everybody say, this is logical math. Just touch your mind. Say, this is logical math. Yeah, it's logical. But we're part of the kingdom of God. We're part of another system. Touch a neighbor, say, you're part of another system. It's a better system. Now watch this other thought process. I call it the kingdom millionaire formula. 100% of what comes into my life, it doesn't leave my life. It actually gets multiplied in my life. So 100% times 10% equals what? 1,000%. Have you ever wondered why God said in Deuteronomy 1:11 that I'm going to make you 1,000 times greater? Wow. Because God thinks multiplication. The enemy thinks subtraction. And so that's why 2 Corinthians, look at this. It says this. It says, now may he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for the food supply and what? Multiply the seeds that you have sown. As we begin, can someone come on the keyboard? I want to share something with you about my friend Jack Canfield. Jack Canfield is the author of the Chicken Soup for the Soul series. Have you ever heard of those books? Well, a lot of people don't know. He's a believer. He loves God. And him and Mark Victor Hansen really struggled for a lot of their careers because they had this big dream to publish this book. They wanted to publish stories that encouraged people. And they went to over 111 publishers, and they all denied him. And finally, Jack was frustrated. He went to church, and he tithed. He gave 10%. And he came home on a Sunday, and he went out for a walk in the woods. And he was out in the woods, and he said, God, I'm a tither. And he said, Lord, I need a title that's going to capture the attention of a publisher. I need a title that's going to cause this book to explode all over the world. While he's walking out there, he hears the voice of God say to him, this is what he told me. He said, I heard the voice of God say to me, he said, Jack, when you were sick, what did your mother give you to make your body feel better? He said, chicken soup. He said, Jack, what are you trying to do to make people's souls feel better? He says, I'm trying to give them chicken soup for the soul, not for the body. God said, name it chicken soup for the soul. 500 million books later, One word from God. Come on, somebody help me right there. And here's what I want to give you, because I'm acutely aware of what's getting ready to happen in this next decade. And you've got to be aware of it for your life. Unfortunately, what the church has taught us is that when we give, just expect miracles to happen. But here's what I want you to change your mindset on. I want you to believe, God, that when you give, that God will give you million and billion dollar ideas. All you need is $1 billion idea to live like a king the rest of your life. And when you give, you need to start saying, God, I am believing you for $1 million ideas on businesses that I need to start that have not been started, services to be started, problems that need to be solved, people's needs that need to be met. God, how can you use me in a bigger way than what you're using me right now? And I'm telling you what, God has insight into the future, and God can download that into your spirit, but you got to ask so you can receive it. Come on, somebody, are you hearing me? So as we conclude this message tonight, and I think we're going to do a meeting tonight. We may do a meeting tonight if you guys want to do it. But my wife and I, God's blessed us in an amazing way. But I learned in my own life that I could do what's right with the 10%, but if I do what's wrong with the 90%, I can still stay stuck. And that was my wife and I. We were tithing, but we got in $180,000 just in credit card debt. And then God started to teach us some principles that were different than what we hear today. The old washed out principles of the 80s. They worked in the 80s, but they're not working today. It's kind of like, yeah, live below your means. Well, that's a big revelation, right? And so we tried to live the scarcity life, and we got further in debt. The way out of debt and the building wealth is not to think smaller and to reduce your life. It's to start supersizing your thoughts and supersizing your beliefs. Come on, by getting an abundant mindset. And when we started shifting that, there's a whole bunch of things God taught us. Within the next 3 years, we became completely debt-free, moved in, we're living the life of our dreams. But we didn't listen to the traditional teachings. We said we're not going to lower our means. We're going to believe God to increase our means, because we like living this lifestyle. I don't want to live in a trailer in an apartment. Come on, somebody say, oh yeah. So tonight at 5, we're just going to have a chat. We're going to share with you, my wife and I, we're going to be sharing with you our 11 strategies to build wealth and to get out of debt fast. Everybody say fast. But before we do that, the ushers have this little card that they want to give you. If the ushers would just pass one out. Oh, thank you, Pastor. And Pastor bought you a little book, a free book for everybody. Kind of tells you a little bit more about this message called Potential, the Secret Power of 10. We want to bless you with this today. The pastor bought them for you. Would you give him a clap and say thank you? That was awesome. Each person gets one and gets a card. Make sure everybody gets a card and gets a book, both. We've got enough for everybody, I believe. But I want you to just fill this card out, if you would, please. Because for the next 90 days, myself and my wife and the staff here are going to be praying for supernatural turnaround in your finances. I'm going to be praying that God will give you million and billion dollar ideas. I don't want to just pray God gives you $1 million. It's better to get $1 million idea, because $1 million idea can create millions, if not billions. And I want you to fill this out, because we're going to be praying for the next 90 days for you. And on here, you'll notice there's three boxes. One, it says, I'm committing to tithe to my local church for the first time. I'm recommitting to tithe. And number three, I'm continuing to commit to tithe to my local church. So So there's three people, three kinds of people here. Number one, you've never done it before. This is like, wow, I've never, you know, I've heard it. I've heard preacher teach it, but I've never done it. I've never made a commitment to do it myself. So if that's you, you want to say, man, I want to commit to tithing for the first time in my life. That's you. You want to check that box. The second group of you, you did it, but then you quit. You backed off. Why? Because you're like me. You saw that you weren't getting results. You tried it a couple times. You said, this didn't work. And here's what I want to tell you. A principle is not discovered until you live it out for the long haul. There was times in my wife and I's life where our family made fun of us for giving to the local church. They saw our situation and said, what are they doing? They're crazy. And now today our family call us up and they want to borrow money from us. See, it's not the short term. You got to live the long term in your life. And you got to let God play it out. And that's very important. Then the third one box is, some of you have been tithing. And I just want to pat you on the back and say, good job. But here's what I do want to tell you. Some of you have made tithing a casual moment. Let's all say that together. Some of us have made tithing a casual moment, where now you're just writing the check and you're throwing it in, and you're not mixing it with faith and expectation that something good is going to happen to me. I'm a tither. $1 million ideas are coming to me. Opportunities are coming to me. Doors are opening for me in my next decade. God's bringing people, situations. Come on, somebody, are you hearing me? You got to mix faith with it. And when you mix faith with it, here's what happens. Your expectations increase and opportunities start coming to you instead of you chasing after that. So if that's you, you say, man, I'm going to continue to start tithing to my local church. I'm going to add some expectation. I'm going to believe God for $1 million ideas to be downloaded to me. And watch and see what God will do. So if you grab those, Pastor, I want you to come. The ushers are going to collect those in just a minute so we can pray over those. Did you guys enjoy this today? Did you get a lot out of it today? This is the foundation. And remember, giving is the ultimate act that proves you have confidence that God's going to prosper you in your tomorrow. Giving is the proof that you have confidence that God is going to bless you in amazing ways in your tomorrow. Pastor.
Thank you. Can we give a big round of applause for Dr. Keith Johnson today? I want to thank him for coming. I want to really encourage you. You know, I read his book, Potential, The Secret Power of 10, and that's why I wanted you to have a copy. I would encourage you to read this when you get home. I just thought it was so powerful that I wanted every one of you to have one of those. And then I also want to ask you, you know, Dr. Keith and his wife, Bonnie, they are willing to come this afternoon at 5 o'clock and to teach their 11 strategies to accumulate wealth and get out of debt.
Yeah.
And they're already out of debt. Mm-hmm. So they're not coming for their benefit. They want to come for our benefit. How many of you would like them? How many of you would come at 5 o'clock? You'd like to be part of that class. Would you lift your hand up and let us know if you'd like to be here tonight at 5? All right, you think we should do it?
Yeah.
Okay, we're going to do it at 5 o'clock.
Yeah, 5 o'clock.
His wife, Bonnie, and Dr. Keith. How many of you like to be out of debt?
Bad debt.
How many of you are out of debt? If you're debt-free, lift your hand. Wonderful. You know, a lot of people, they want to be out of debt, but they want to wave a magic wand or pray a simple prayer. Let me tell you, the Bible says that wisdom is the most important thing. It says wisdom is the principal thing.
Yeah.
In Proverbs chapter 4, verse 7, it says, wisdom is the principal thing. Do you know you don't have a money problem? You have a wisdom problem. You don't have a healing problem. You got a wisdom problem. Wisdom is the most important thing. And the Bible says that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Wisdom comes from God. The Word of God, the Bible, gives us wisdom for every area of our life. And so Keith is going to share with you the wisdom principles, give you the wisdom to be able to build wealth and get out of debt. Right?
Yeah.
So praise God.
But also, getting out of debt is not a great achievement. A hobo is out of debt. My 16-year-old kid's out of debt. That doesn't mean he's great, but we're gonna share some of that kind of stuff with you too. You know?
Strategies to accumulate wealth.
Yeah. To accumulate wealth. That's what we want. Not just getting out of debt. We want to accumulate a massive amount of wealth so we can plunder hell's treasure chest and bring it in for the kingdom of God.
That's a
blessing to other people, right?
That's right.
That's what we want to do.
So that's at 5 p.m. We're gonna do that. At 5 p.m.
5 p.m. Yeah.
Amen. All right. Well, thank you so much.
You're welcome, man. It's good to be here today.
For being here today. It was great. You know, it's amazing. I've heard about tithing since I was 17 years old. It's amazing. You still learn. That's why you got to stay teachable, because you always continue to learn. You know, think about Tom and Anna Cartwright right here on the front row. Tom was sitting on his patio and looking at the palm trees. And the God gave him an idea. And he had an idea to make a fan blade that looked like a palm leaf. Is this true? Tom didn't know anything about fan blades, never made a fan blade. And he had that patented. He patented the idea, produced the fan blade. That fan blade became the biggest selling fan blade in the history of the fan blade industry. Am I right? Millions of dollars. Sold 150 Home Depot sold $150 million just on that fan. Now, God gave Tom another idea. And Tom told me, he said, this is the biggest thing ever in my life. This is bigger than the fan blade. This is bigger than the pool table. This is bigger than all the other things he's done. It's going to revolutionize the lighting industry. And Lowe's just ordered 40,000 to put in their stores. You see, you could be sitting and God give you one idea, totally change your life. But Liz, here's the thing. If you're not willing to give to God, why should God bless you? Why should God bless a stingy person? God's looking for people. You see, we're supposed to be a channel for blessings to flow through us. Like a hose pipe. You know, a hose pipe, water flows through a hose pipe. The hose pipe gets wet, but the whole idea is supposed to be a funnel. You see, we're not supposed to be a reservoir. We're supposed to be a channel, a funnel that wealth flows through us for the purposes of the kingdom of God. Amen. We want to receive an offering, as we always do, for our guests, because the scripture says this in 3 John, in the third epistle of John, if you read from verse number 5, it says, "Dear friend, you are being faithful to God when you care for the traveling teachers." You are being faithful to God when you care for the traveling teachers who pass through. Even though they are strangers to you, they have told the church here of your loving friendship. Please continue providing for such teachers in a manner that pleases God. For they are traveling for the Lord, and they accept nothing from the people who are not believers. So we ourselves should support them so that we can be partners as they teach the truth. The Bible says that we should provide and support people who come through and teach the Word of God, traveling teachers, that we are being faithful to God and that we should provide for them in a way that pleases God, because when we gift and support them, we become partners. In other words, whatever lives are touched and changed because of Dr. Keith's ministry, you become a partner. You have a part in every life that is changed. When you give to a ministry, you become a partner. God accredits to your account rewards simply because you supported and gave to that man or woman of God. Can you say amen, somebody? So we always like to receive an offering for our, when we have a guest come. We appreciate Dr. Keith coming. This is what he does full time. And we want to be a blessing to him. So I want to encourage you to be generous and to give. If you want to write a check, make it out to Ascend Church. You can give by credit card. You can give various ways. If we can put that back on the screen, please, the different ways to give. You can give by texting. You can give online, ascendchurch.us. But we're going to pray. I want to ask, please, when the offering bag or bucket comes by, would you put the card that you filled out from Dr. Keith, the commitment to tithe, would you put that card, this one here, put that into the basket. In fact, here's what I want to do. I want you to hold that card in your hand right now, because I want to pray. As the pastor, I want to pray as you make this commitment or recommit. For some of you, it's a first-time commitment. For some of you, it's a recommitment. I'm going to declare the blessing of God upon you today. Are you ready for that? Would you like me to do that? So hold it in your hand right now. Hold that card, and we're going to pray. In fact, why don't you hold that card up to the Lord like that? Hold it up to God like that. Hold that card up to the Lord like that. Everybody. Everybody should have a card. Everyone should fill it in, because either you're committing to tithe, you're recommitting to tithe, or you're committing to continue tithing. So this is for everybody. If you say, Pastor Steve, I'm already a tither, fill it out, please, that you are committing to continue. So hold it up to the Lord. Father, I thank you today, Lord, that it is your will that we would prosper. Lord, you said the blessing of the Lord brings wealth without painful toil. The blessing of the Lord makes one rich, and he adds no sorrow. Lord, your blessing causes us to prosper. Your word says that you wish above all things that we would prosper and be in health, even as our soul prospers. Lord, you are a God of more than enough. You are a God of abundance. And you said that when we honor you and when we tithe, that you open the windows of heaven and you cause blessings to be poured upon us. So Father, right now, as your people make this dedication to honor you and to tithe, I thank you for the windows of heaven open above them. I thank you for supernatural ideas that are being imparted to them. I thank you for witty inventions. I thank you for supernatural favor. I thank you for divine wisdom, Father. I thank you for guidance. I thank you for opening doors. I thank you for bringing the right people across our path. I thank you, Lord, that everything we put our hand to, you cause it to prosper and be blessed. And Lord, we give you all of the praise, and we give you all the glory, and we give you all the honor in Jesus' name. If you agree with that, say amen. Say thank you, Lord. Say, I'm expecting. Say, I am expecting this decade. It's going to be my best decade yet. Say, I'm expecting something good is going to happen to me this week, this month, this year, this decade, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Are you ready this morning? Can we go ahead? Everyone ready? Okay, ushers, thank you. Go ahead and pass the buckets. And let me, I just want to say to everyone that invited a guest today, thank you for inviting a guest. You know, I found these little invite cards that we just had made very handy. I handed about 5 or 6 of these out this week. In fact, we had to go through, we went through the pharmacy. We were picking up something at the pharmacy, the drive-through, and the lady who was working there, the pharmacist, recognized my accent. She said, where are you from? I said, South Africa. She said, I'm also from South Africa. And then she happened to recognize, oh, I've seen you. I recognize you. And so she asked, I gave her a little card. She said, could I have some more of those cards? I want to invite some people. I ended up giving about 5 of these cards. You know, the little window, put them in the window. I've been giving out these cards. I find them so handy. I want to encourage you. When you leave today in the lobby, we've got piles of these invite cards all over the lobby. They're on the different tables. Just help yourself. You're welcome to take as many of these as you will use. Invite someone to come to church next Sunday. I'm going to be preaching next Sunday. I'm looking forward to it. And then in 2 weeks' time, we have Prophet Ed Trout, Sunday morning, Sunday night, 6 p.m. Today at 5 p.m., Dr. Keith Johnson and his wife Bonnie are going to be sharing the 11 strategies to accumulate wealth and get debt-free. That'll be at 5 o'clock. Why don't you stand up with me as we close this morning? Stand up, everybody. Why don't you bow your head as we close in prayer? Father, we thank you so much for your word today. We thank you so much, Lord, that you are such a good God. You want good things for us, Lord. Every good thing in our life comes from you. And we are so thankful, Lord. As we tithe and give, we do it out of gratitude because we know that every good thing in our life is a blessing from you, Lord. And we just thank you for your goodness toward us. While you have your eyes closed, while you have your heads bowed in prayer, before we close today, I just want to give an opportunity, as we always do. I want to pray for people. If you are here this morning and you are not sure where you stand with God, you're not sure if all is right between you and the Lord, let me ask you this question. If you were to die today, can you say that you know for sure that you would go to heaven? Or would you have to be honest? Say, Pastor Steve, if I died today, I hope I'd go to heaven. I do believe in God. I'm a member of such and such a church. Listen, I'm not asking you if you belong to a church. I'm not asking you even if you believe in God. What I'm asking you is, are you sure? Can you say you know for sure that if you died today, that you would go to heaven? Because let me tell you, the good news is you can know that for sure. You can walk out of here today and you can know that all is right and all is well between you and God. You can know that every mistake, every sin you ever committed, it's forgiven and washed away. And you can know for certain that when you die, heaven is where you'll spend eternity. Let me tell you, heaven's a real place. There's a heaven to gain. There's a hell to shun. I want to pray for you. I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to ask you to come out. But right where you stand, while we have our heads bowed and our eyes closed, this is between you and God. If you say, Pastor Steve, pray for me. Include me in that prayer that you're going to pray, because I want to be sure that all is right and all is well with me and God. I want to make sure when I die, I want to go to heaven. I don't want to go to hell. Pray for me. If that's you, if you want to be included in this prayer I'm about to pray, why don't you just quickly lift your hand up high. Just lift your hand up. Look, I'm looking for hands. Just raise it up now. If your hand is raised, you're included in this prayer this morning. Praise God. That's awesome. I see a number of people's hands raised. I want everyone who lifted your hand, please say this prayer with me. Pray this prayer with me. The Bible says in Romans chapter 10, in verse number 9, it says, if you confess with your mouth, Jesus, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, and you believe in your heart, God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. So say this with me. Everybody, say, thank you, Lord, that you sent your son Jesus to come to this earth, to die on a cross for me, to take my sin and my punishment. Lord, you said that if I believe that Jesus was raised from the dead, and if I confess that he is Lord, you said I would be saved. I do this today. I believe in my heart, Lord Jesus, you're the Son of God. You were raised from the dead, and you are alive, and I ask you, Lord, come into my heart. Come into my life. Forgive me of my sin. I surrender and I confess Jesus. Say it with me. I confess Jesus is Lord of my life. And I say, Lord, I thank you because I have received you. I am now saved. I'm born again. I'm a child of God. God, you're my very own Father. Heaven is now my home and my name is written down in your book of life. Thank you, Jesus. And everybody said amen and amen. Give God thanks and praise. Will you do that this morning? God bless you all. We're so glad you were here tonight.